ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot off.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot and Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor. Yep, it's Tuesday night, 23rd of August. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm excited for the weekend. I know it's only Tuesday, but I'm excited.
You mean just the fact of it will be a weekend soon?
Oh, no, it's a special weekend.
What is the weekend?
This Saturday, first Nebraska football game of the season.
Oh, whoopee-doo. See my excited face?
Well, now this is going to be a very interesting game. Nebraska's playing Northwestern University, which is a Big Ten school. We hardly ever, ever, ever open with a Big Ten game. Okay? But this game is different because neither team is playing on their home field.
Okay, and like I care about football, why?
We're playing this game in Dublin, Ireland. Yeah. Oh,
so they get all of the another country besides us gets all the profits from it.
Well, that's not exactly true because there's a lot of television profits that go to both schools. So, you know, Nebraska and Northwestern get a lot of money coming in from that. But it's a very interesting game. This is a game they tried to do 2 years ago, but they couldn't do it because of COVID, and they couldn't do it last year because of COVID. But they finally got it in this year, and both teams are now over there. They're in Dublin. They're practicing in Dublin, and the game's nationally televised this Saturday. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm glad you are, but football does not excite me at all. I really could care less about it.
I know. And folks, I do know that because Diana and I have been partners for years and eons. And every time I bring up football, she's like, I don't care about football. So the only reason I bring it up is to irritate her.
Right. To me, football is, high-priced athletes who don't have a brain in their body that make all this money and then protest how bad this country is.
Well, this is college, and so it's not quite like the money the pros get. And, you know, these are young athletes that are doing their best, and hopefully Nebraska will be better this year than we've been in the last several years, but that is yet to be seen.
Okay, well, if you enjoy it, you know, have fun watching it, but that whole knee crap, forget it.
And I'll call you at the end of every quarter and give you an update.
Thank you for reminding me to turn my phone off.
Folks, it is Tuesday night. We do have a big show planned for you. Diane, you're going to be talking about an unclassified raid.
Yes. And I've been getting very good response to it. And obviously, folks, it's about the raid on President Trump's private home. And that's one of the biggest abominations I have ever seen. It's okay that Hillary, you know, bleach bit bleach bitted and got rid of thousands, 33,000 documents. But Trump has some declassified documents in his home, which they are now claiming to be classified, but they're locked in a box in a safe room. So they're really going out, you know, to a lot of places. It is such a political witch hunt, like, you know, not seen in a long time, at least since the Steele dossier.
Save it for your segment, Diane.
Yes.
I'm dealing with a whole different matter. Earthquake in Wyoming, the geyser, the geezer, and the rhino.
Oh, yeah, we know who they all are.
Yeah, so, and that one, I got to tell you, has also been going over very well.
Yes.
So it's kind of fun. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, and it's poking a sharp stick at the Cheneys. So... those are the two main segments we got coming up tonight. But before we get to any of that, we've got to talk about a few things that have been going on in the news. We'll start with the mayor of Washington, D.C. Now, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, she once again tried to get from the Pentagon some help from the National Guard in controlling the massive influx of illegal aliens being bussed in from Texas. And what happened?
Well, let's just say the Defense Department turned her down, thankfully. And I didn't know, you know, Texas is being overrun by hundreds of thousands of illegals. I do not call them immigrants. They're coming here knowingly breaking our laws. They're illegals. But a couple of hundred, I guess that's a swarm, and it needs, you know, the National Guard.
Well, and according to the Pentagon, this isn't a crisis. That's what they told her. The bus loads that she's getting from Texas, they said, you don't have a crisis. You got a few bus loads.
Right. And this is very, very hypocritical, because if you remember, Washington is one of the cities that declared themselves the sanctuary city. So yeah. They should be, you know, welcoming these people with open arms. They wanted them here. But in, you know, D.C.'s mind, remember, D.C. is Democrat, folks. What's good for us is not good for you.
Well, in case you ever wonder what D.C. and Washington, D.C. stands for, it's Democrat Communist.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'm going with that. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. But yeah, I mean, not only she, but the mayor in New York City, he's beside himself because he's getting busloads, and they're coming not only from Texas, but also Arizona. Both those states are sending busloads of illegals to those cities, and they claim, at least Bow Wow Bowser in D.C. claims, we just can't deal with this. We got... There's, you know, it's putting a terrible, terrible strain on our facilities. Well, how do you think Texas feels?
That's right. I mean, they got quintuple the amount of them coming in as you have. You wanted them. Well, here they are. And Adams, he's received 900 illegal since August 5th. And he's whining, too. And here it is. Governor Abbott has invited him numerous times to come down to the border to see what's really going on and help remedy the situation. But he turns it down. He doesn't want to remedy anything. He just wants to whine and complain.
Well, you know, Greg Abbott and Governor Ducey, those two fine states, they ought to send on the next busload. They ought to send a whole bunch of cheese to go with all the wine.
Ah, could be. But you know what something is very funny about all this? They used to send them over here to Florida.
Right.
They're not sending them here anymore.
Well, in Florida, they used to come from Texas on airplanes in the middle of the night.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, but Jen Psaki
haven't been anymore.
But, you know, Jen Psaki corrected all that. She said those aren't middle-of-the-night flights. Those are early morning flights. And, you know, technically, I guess 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning is early morning. But come on. Those are middle of the night flights, and everybody knows it.
Of course they are. And I think they're a little afraid now to mess with DeSantis.
You know,
especially after his Top Gun ad came out yesterday.
I saw that Top Gun ad last night, and I looked at that and I went, okay, you know, I think personally,
it's on the timeline, by the way.
Personally, I think he could have done that and been a lot tougher with it. You know, there's a few cute moments in it, and kind of, you know, and a couple of funny things in it. But it's very accurate. And, you know, he was a Navy guy. Now, he wasn't a Navy fighter pilot by any chance.
Yeah, but he was a SEAL.
He was a SEAL and a JAG officer. The best part of the commercial is when they show the jet and, you know, like on a regular fighter jet, you know, Navy or Air Force, they've got the pilot's nickname on there.
Yeah.
On his jet, it says Top Gov.
Right.
I love that.
It's a spoof of the movie, but it's playing very well down here. It's on YouTube, which usually wouldn't put up stuff like that, but it's there. I have it on my timeline. I have it on my blog. It's on all of Ron DeSantis's fan pages and his governor page. And I mean, it's a terrific ad.
Well, and the best part really is all the clips that they put into this ad, where it shows DeSantis really giving the business to these liberals and press conferences and public appearances. And I mean, he won't take any crap from any of them.
No. And it's very cute at the end because his son is in it.
Yeah.
But here it is, you know, he stood up to Biden and the Immigration Department, and all of a sudden they're not showing up here anymore.
Right. So,
and that's what it takes. You've got to stand up. You have to have Republicans that grow a spine.
Well, he's got at least two spines.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I
you
mean,
need
for
a lot
all the crap.
More to stop this.
Well, you know, I mean, he and Abbott and Ducey, they're doing everything they can legally to draw attention to the crisis and put a stop to it in their own states. So,
exactly.
Good for them. Elon Musk, your friend and mine, he's actually a closer friend of Diane's.
Huh?
You know? Well,
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you have ties to space.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, okay. So, you know, he's a closer friend of yours. But our friend Elon Musk has subpoenaed former Twitter CEO Jack Dempsey. Now, that tells me that the deal for Twitter is not completely dead.
That's true. He's demanding, and rightfully so, more things from them, especially about spamming and other things. Fake accounts. That's been going on for a couple of months now, but now he wants the spam accounts also. And he's right. If you're going to spend that kind of money, and we're talking $42 billion here, folks, you have to know what you're buying is a legitimate organization, a legitimate business.
Yeah.
And Dorsey, it's a little iffy there because he did step down as Twitter CEO, but Elon Musk still has a right.
Well, and
to
if anybody's
getting a clean organization, a clean business.
If anybody knows what the numbers are, it would be Dorsey.
Exactly.
I mean, that's you know, because he was intimately involved in that. But I got to tell you, Jack Dorsey seems to me to be kind of an odd duck.
Very odd.
You know, now, will he comply with the subpoena? Will he go in and testify? Will he take the fifth? Will he tell the truth? I mean, he'll be under oath. It's yet to be seen.
Right. And I don't think he will. I could be wrong. But, Elon Musk is trying to develop an all-inclusive site where all people can speak freely. And they're saying that right now, Twitter has less than 5% fake accounts and spammers. I don't believe that.
Well, and apparently neither does Elon Musk, but what he wants is them to prove it.
Right.
He said, okay, you say you got...
You're not willing to prove it.
No, he says, you say you've got less than 5% spam accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it. Because, you know, the deal, the $42 billion or $44 billion, whatever it was contingent on 5% or less spam accounts. So Elon right. Musk, like you say, you want to know that what you're buying is worth buying. He says, prove it. And so far, Twitter says, yeah, well, there isn't really any way to prove it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's funny, but the judge, her name is Kathleen McCormick, she has ordered Twitter to collect, review, and produce documents from Kanyon Bakepour, the general manager of part of Twitter. And there's nothing wrong with asking for that information.
No, there shouldn't be. You're right. You know, that should be 100% above board. And if Twitter and Dempsey and whoever's running Twitter now, if they're above board, they shouldn't have any problem providing it.
Right. And also, they want information from, meaning Elon Musk wants information from a man named Bruce Falk. And he's the former head of Twitter's revenue product division. What better man to know what's fake account, what's real accounts, what's business, what's not business, than the one who's head of a revenue department?
Well, when it comes to issuing subpoenas, Elon Musk and his legal team are square on target, it seems to me. They're targeting the right people.
Right. And he's doing everything legal. He's doing everything by the book. He's following the letter of the law, yet he's getting crucified in the media. Oh, he's backing out of the deal. They're saying all sorts of, you know, nasty mainstream media stuff. Personally, I think Elon Musk should walk away from this.
Well,
Twitter,
you know,
was dying.
Well, it was.
Twitter was dying.
It was dying of their own malfeasance is what it was dying
exactly.
from, and he could easily resurrect it. You know, here's the thing. If he's going to legitimately back out of it, he's got to be able to prove there's a reason to back out of it, because he made a deal, but that deal
right.
was contingent on certain numbers. Now, if those numbers don't prove to be true, or those numbers aren't provable to be true, then he's got a legitimate reason to back out.
I agree.
You know,
so I agree. And I don't think they are legitimate numbers. When you have a platform that has, what is it, close to a billion users, Twitter?
Yeah.
Less than 5% are fake or spamming accounts? I don't think so.
It's hard to believe those numbers that they provided are real, because they didn't provide any documentation to back it up.
Exactly.
So let's see what they got. Let's see what they're hiding, and let's see how truthful they are.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, Elon Musk keeps launching more and more Starlink satellites. In fact,
yes.
up in South Dakota for the past couple of nights, right before sunset, people were seeing a long string of lights in the sky. It turns out those are Starlink satellites that were just launched, and they're slowly separating and moving away and finding their orbits. But people
right.
were looking at that going, what is that? Well, Starlink.
That's Starlink. And remember, Starlink and Elon Musk did a very good thing. They are supplying the internet connections for Ukraine.
Right. And that's a huge deal, because Russia had pretty much cut all that off.
Exactly.
You know, and so
he's
now
done it for other countries as well.
Well, mm-hmm. now, and apparently he's doing it for people in rural South Dakota, which is very hard to get internet in a lot of rural places all around the country, but he's doing it right now for South Dakota, and that should help keep North Dakota from invading South Dakota. So we got that going for us. There's a couple of new polls that have come out, and neither one of them are very complimentary to the Biden regime. In one of them, they surveyed college liberals. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the survey results are kind of interesting. Some of it's pretty well expected. For instance, most college Democrats would not want to have a roommate that's a Trump supporter. Okay. You know, that goes, you know, two ways. Most Trump
62%.
Supporters. Yeah. Yes. Most Trump supporters wouldn't want a roommate that's a diehard liberal either. But there's a set of interesting numbers in there, and it sits at 73%. Diane, what is it?
The 73% number? Oh, that's the number of Democrat supporters who called for Biden not to run again.
They're saying no go, Joe, in 24.
Right. However, there are 57% of Republicans who do want Trump to run again. Only 57%.
Well, you know, that's not surprising to some extent. Most of those college Republicans, they don't even want to go on the record as far as a survey is concerned because of the targeting that's been done against conservatives in the past, especially through the Obama regime and again during Trump's first term. And, you know, college kids, by and large, they're not really into politics except for whatever they can get for free. Now, they're into politics if they think that other people's money is going to pay for their tuition.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, in their minds, that's just common sense. You know, somebody else can pay for it because Democrats don't take responsibility for their own actions, let alone their own lives. They've always got their hands out.
You're 100% correct. And given the fact that most college students are probably completely ignorant about where the money comes from because they've not been taught civics in high school or junior high, they probably think the government has its own independent source of money.
Well, yeah, they forget that it's we taxpayers who are paying for it. And when these college kids start working in the real world, if they do, they're going to become part of the taxpayers and you're going to be paying for the things you're whining about. Well, but you know what I found funny in this thing? They have a special name for Joe Biden now.
Oh, really?
Yes. They don't call him President Biden or, you know, I call him Uncle Joe as a sarcastic joke. They now call him COVID Joe.
Well, COVID lockdowns, COVID mask mandates. Joe's had COVID twice, even though he's been vaxxed and revaxxed, and he probably got the COVID, anti-COVID suppository at some point.
And now Jill Biden has it fully vaxxed and boosted and everything else.
Mm-hmm. COVID Joe, huh?
COVID Joe.
That's kind of funny. Now, the other poll that's floating around out there, Biden can't be very happy about this either. According to the latest poll numbers, more Americans are suffering under Biden's policies in the last month than in the previous month.
Right. You know, it boils down liberal America, meaning, you know, the Democrats, they wanted Trump to be gone. So what did they do instead of picking somebody who really might be a moderate, might be a Kennedy Democrat? They picked somebody who's sickly, dementia ridden, a total liberal who's way past his prime to lead the nation, let alone his own, you know, walking from one room to another, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's who they picked as their candidate. And what makes it worse, they know damn well that Obama is pulling Joe Biden's strings.
Sure.
So all these bad decisions, Joe Biden is the conduit, but the bad decisions are still coming from Obama.
Biden doesn't even make a decision on what flavor of pudding he's going to get at 4 o'clock.
That's true.
Now, somebody else is making that decision too. You know, when you right. when you look into this poll and you look at what they're talking about here, it's not a huge number. Okay, it's not a huge number, but it's a higher number than it was a month ago that say they are now suffering under Joe Biden's policies. And you got to know that those that are suffering or feel that they are suffering under Joe Biden's policies are the very people that Biden and liberals have said for decades that they're looking out for. We're talking about lower and lower middle class Americans.
Right. And let's put it this way. When you take, let's say, Republicans, those on our side, that number has doubled since June of 2021. And for Democrats, it has jumped to 5.4%, which is almost double the 2.9% just from a year ago.
It's
so things
stunning.
Are getting worse on both sides of the aisle.
Well, and just think about this. We're just coming out of summer, okay? Fall is just around the corner, and in a lot of places in this country, as you creep into fall, as you get closer to November election time, people mm-hmm. are going to have to start turning on the furnaces in their homes. And
that's
natural
right.
gas, a lot of people heat with natural gas. Natural gas is now almost double what it was a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to the point of ridiculous. Never mind the gas. Never mind the food bills. Let's say those were a little more normal. Try heating your homes.
Yeah, and winter is coming. It's going to be here before you know it. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to make a pretty tough decision. Do we heat the house or do we eat?
Yeah, you think we're kidding. But we're not.
You know, and so if Biden thinks the numbers right now in this poll are against him, wait until winter sets in.
Yeah, but the problem is that the real winter, the hardcore winter, is after the election.
Well, that's true. But there's another election coming in a couple of years. You know, and a lot of places, you know, up in the northern tier of states, they're going to be turning on their furnaces beginning in the middle of October.
True.
You know, because, you know, unlike people that live in South Florida, it gets cold up there.
I think last year we turned on our heat maybe once for an hour.
Well, yeah, and that's because the temperature dropped below 70 and you were suffering. You were just, oh, my God, what are we going to do?
The boots come out, the long sleeves. Yeah, I know. We Floridians are weather weenies, but we admit it.
Sitting there in your house with the heater going and your parka on, you know, and acting like you're living in a tent in northern Montana in January. I mean, come on.
I know. It's so hard, you know, to live in paradise. What can I say?
Yeah, Diane's sitting down there in South Florida rubbing two cats together to try and generate heat.
Oh, there are nights there. It's a four-cat night. They need to all be piled on me.
It's just pathetic is what it is. It's pathetic. Folks, we got a great show coming up for you, a couple of great segments, about a half an hour from now. I'm talking about earthquake in Wyoming, the geyser, the geezer, and the rhino. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break and a couple of station IDs, Diane's got it with an unclassified raid. So stay with us, folks. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor, and if you miss any part of tonight's show, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there it will be. All right, so last week I dealt with the raid at Mar-a-Lago. This week, Diane's turn to deal with the raid, an unclassified raid.
Yes, and let's start with this quote. We have seen material like this before. We have seen materials that have been submitted to courts for warrants. This is not unprecedented. His actions are unprecedented in history, and he has a lot of questions to answer for. Now, that was said by Ohio Representative Mike Turner, he's a Republican, questioning whether the search warrant executed by the FBI and set into motion by AG Merrick Garland at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was justified or necessary. Now, some see it as the continuation of the Democrats' witch hunt against President Trump, while others see it as impeachment part four. However, I see it in much stronger terms, as in the Democrats' last-ditch attempt at a major political character assassination to prevent our former president from becoming our next president, never mind the midterm outcome, paperwork be damned. And so in a show of Gestapo-like force, not unlike that scene in a bad grade B movie, armed FBI agents raided the private home of former President Donald J. Trump over a year and a half after he left office, a year and a half after he had not only agreed to but complied with turning over any and all documents the FBI requested to see. And the document brouhaha actually started back in February of this year when the National Archives and Record Administration took into possession 15 boxes of documents that President Trump stored at his Mar-a-Lago home, boxes that housed some communications with North Korea's Kim Jong-un to a letter from Barack Hussein Obama himself. And President Trump, as promised, voluntarily turned over said documents, and yet Democrats demanded to know whether Trump had complied with the Presidential Records Act of 1978, the act which requires the archivist of the U.S. To maintain presidential records. And suddenly, lo and behold, NARWA, that's the organization, identified items marked as classified national security information within those boxes. And so this newest politically driven melodrama started to unfold. Using a search warrant signed on August 5th by South Florida federal magistrate judge Bruce E. Reinhart and with AG Merrick Garland, whose wife was directly involved in stopping a number of 2020 election audits from going forward, given
the final go-ahead to institute said warrant. The FBI entered Mar-a-Lago, stormtrooper style, in the early morning hours of August 8th. Using the pretext of looking for documents connected to three possible violations of federal statutes, including a section of the Espionage Act, the very act that makes it a crime to possess or share national defense secrets without authorization, a section of law relating to the destroying or concealing of documents that interfere with an official government investigation, as well as a section of law against stealing, destroying, or mutilating government records, with said pretext being grasping at straws at best. Why so? Because after learning that J. I. Bratt, the top counterintelligence official in the DOJ's National Security Division, had paid a June 3rd unannounced visit to Mar-a-Lago, little known that one of Trump's top lawyers had already legally certified in writing that all expected to be turned over materials had indeed been done so in a timely manner and to the appropriate government authorities, as was required by law upon President Donald J. Trump's leaving office. This fact makes the certification especially important because not only did the warrant issued cite an obstruction statute as reason to search for supposed classified documents belonging to the government as being justification for the raid, but we now find legal experts on both sides of the political aisle agreeing with Trump's lawyers in that presidents do indeed have what's called absolute authority to declassify documents at the time of their choosing. And Craig, President Trump had emphatically stated that the process of declassifying documents had always been done so as required by law, and that any documents remaining at Mar-a-Lago were already declassified, no matter the FBI's believing that any documents found on premise were improperly stored and in violation of federal law.
You know, the absolute authority statute is, you know, pretty self-explanatory, but there is kind of a common sense deal that goes along with this that makes you really scratch your head as to what in the world are they talking about here?
Exactly. And folks, I believe President Trump, what he is saying about everything, in no way would he, a man who deeply loves this country, keep boxes clearly marked classified in his home, knowing that the Democrats would do and say any and everything possible to prevent him from running for president in 2024. And this includes the FBI possibly having planted such documents as that of which Trump is now being accused of having in his possession, so that tucked away at his residence could be found nuclear secrets and or codes, which would be the very justification we the people would accept as reason enough for the raid. What with the January 6th hearings not producing the Democrats' much-needed smoking gun. Thankfully, the majority of Americans, including some leading Democrats, and here I have to say thank you, Tulsi Gabbard, simply are not buying what the DOJ and the FBI are saying. And that includes Joe Biden's claiming that he knew nothing about the raid beforehand. And with FBI Director Christopher Wray acknowledging that he too approved the actual filing of the research warrant application, matters were made worse in that the armed raid was conducted while President Trump was in New York City, while his lawyers on FBI orders were not allowed to be present, and where Mar-a-Lago security surveillance cameras were believed at that time to have been turned off. Issues needing answers. Simply and with malice intended, I believe legitimacy as well as due cause were knowingly breached in favor of A.G. Garland's partisan agenda, coupled with the Democrats, read Hillary here, still in play, quest for political revenge, morphing into an overt miscarriage of justice being directed at the 45th and hopefully 47th president of these United States. And this is no matter
that what President Trump is now being falsely accused of was indeed committed by Hillary Clinton herself via her secret bathroom server and a program called BleachBit back in 2008, when she destroyed and erased 33,000 emails, messages, and documents, including those clearly marked with a C, which even we laymen know means classified in government speak. And while Hillary lied by stating that she did not know what C meant, the fact is that she did. She lied and she got away with it, so much as without a slap on the wrist. More on that in a bit. And if the FBI's raid on Trump's home was what some call a matter of phishing, planting, or even a simple distraction, at the crux of it all, whether it be nuclear or January 6th in nature, is the word classified, a word relating to President Trump and nuclear codes and secrets. And this is quite laughable, for both AG Garland and the FBI know well that the nuclear code not only changes with each president, but that it's changed each and every day for security purposes. And Craig, this means that anything marked classified or top secret, nuclear code or otherwise, if found, would have already been rendered null and void, useless to the president and America's enemies, useless within 24 hours of being issued.
So I guess the question now becomes, what kind of a smokescreen is being put up? I mean, we look at this, none of it makes sense. Obviously, there's got to be a smokescreen here, right?
Exactly. And I call it basically a translation of what's going on, and that's that A.G. Garland's musings regarding nuclear anything seems to be but a cover story for what are truly nefarious purposes. For when Democrats out for revenge cannot accept reality, when they fixate their hatred on one man to such a degree that they will do or say anything, even if it means jeopardizing the integrity of the presidential office itself, you know what appears on the surface is anything but truth. Now, here one must understand the classified documents issues, for this pretense alone was the means by which the FBI, with signed warrant in hand, raided Mar-a-Lago, and is the basis upon which they hope to render Donald J. Trump politically impotent. Now, classified documents, no matter their designation, are considered restricted information, where only those with proper security clearance are able to peruse said documents or be informed of their contents. And with the president having constitutional authority to do so via his being commander-in-chief, he can, at the time of his choosing, classify or declassify documents and information. This process involves placing the documents and information into three specific categories, those being confidential, secret, or top secret. And access to highly sensitive information, like nuclear codes and secrets, can be further restricted with the designation SCI, meaning sensitive, compartmented information. And past presidents have established and developed the classification process through a series of executive orders. Orders dating from World War II era through the Cold War through still in effect Executive Order 13526, an EO issued by Obama himself back in 2009. And Craig, President Trump followed Obama's declassification order as written. So what say the Democrats now, as the happenings at Mar-a-Lago do seem strictly partisan in nature?
Boy, you think just a little bit partisan in nature? You know, earlier you mentioned Hillary Clinton, and I got a feeling you're not done bringing her into this, because there's a lot more to that situation with her than what you covered earlier in the segment.
Absolutely. Now, here I'm including her as a side note, but we have to insert her into this mix. For while Hillary had security clearance in her role as Secretary of State, she not only breached the rules regarding how classified documents must be marked, stored, physically transported, and electronically transmitted, but she actually broke the law with her secret bathroom server being used by her to receive classified information, along with her 33,000 bleach bit delete fest. And when you add in that government officials and FBI agents were actually complicit in her law breaking and its corresponding cover up, Hillary's actions become even more grievous in nature. So while the classification system as it now stands after the FBI raid, what I call a home invasion, because I believe that's what it really should be called, remains about the feds wanting sole bureaucratic control over the entirety of the classification system, no matter that the current punishment for disobeying or not complying with said rules being on the administrative end, meaning those guilty of classified infringements can be reprimanded, lose their security clearance, and or be fired. Yet nothing of the sort has happened to Hillary, nor will it unless the Republicans grow a spine. But when it concerns President Trump, the Democrat hierarchy of partisan-driven shills is unequivocally out for his political blood. Craig, remember, revenge in the political arena does tend to be dirty, if nothing else.
Well, and if you're talking about dirt and things getting dirty, you can't leave the FBI out of this. They're in it up past their eyeballs, right?
Right, exactly. And it's getting dirtier by the day. You know, this FBI armed raid over what appears to be knowingly outdated documents is but a show of force by the federal government, force that will surely be used to intimidate any and all who stand in their way and in their agenda's way. A weaponized bullseye of sorts now placed on any elected official who does not toe the party line, as well as to target those considered to be political rivals and therefore political enemies. The Democrats' quest for power, coupled with their lingering fixation on past elections lost, re Trump v. Hillary here, has seen President Trump's character being slandered and defamed to the nth degree, and it started with the proven-to-be-fabricated Steele dossier. And if they can do this to a former and hopefully future president, they can target we ordinary Americans at will, meaning at the time of their choosing whether there be justifiable cause for a search or not. And as I was writing this article, President Trump was rightfully considering filing a lawsuit against the DOJ for violating his Fourth Amendment rights, and he wants to release whatever footage there is, as in not all security cameras had been turned off as first thought, of armed FBI agents raiding his home, a speculation about what exactly the FBI took and why being at the heart of the matter. Also, the same Judge Reinhardt, who issued the warrant, has now ruled that the FBI must release the affidavit as to why the warrant was wanted, but that the DOJ can redact what they deem needs redacting, with the caveat being that they must again bring it before his court to okay or delete said redactions. Personally, I believe the affidavit should be released in its entirety with no redactions at all, as redactions usually equate to hiding some form of government shenanigans coupled with an ensuing cover-up. But no matter the final outcome of this miscarriage of justice, please don't dismiss a shadow hanging over this entire sordid mess. And that shadow has a name, Hillary Clinton, who remains eerily quiet and out of sight, as she has much to hide in fear if what was really looked for was Trump having undeniable evidence of her many misdeeds. But no matter the reason, Hillary's stench in this matter reeks strong. For with the Democrat hierarchy not wanting Joe Biden to run for re-election, they and Obama just might be setting the stage for a Hillary v. Trump rematch come 2024, what with Hillary in their minds being the only candidate who can beat President Trump, thus garnering Obama his so-wanted real third term in office. Just something to think about. Case closed.
You know, there's a lot of shadows in this whole thing. Obviously, Hillary's one of them. But let's not forget Bill Clinton in all of this.
Clinton is he's sick.
I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when Billy Boy was the president. I mean,
the trail they've both left.
Well, not necessarily that, but let's just say for the sake of argument that the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago because they were afraid that Donald Trump had the nuclear codes at Mar-a-Lago. Okay, just for the sake of argument.
They're useless.
Just for the sake of argument. Okay.
Okay.
You go back to when Bill Clinton was the president, he lost the nuclear football for several weeks. He misplaced it. He had no idea what he had done with it. He probably lost track of it while giving dictation to an intern. But nonetheless, you know, if losing the nuclear code, the nuclear football, they call it, was a big deal, why didn't they do something, go after him for that?
Well, you should know why.
Well, I do know why.
The FBI being the way it is not something that's new.
Right.
Okay, and that's what people forget. There's been shadows over the FBI for a couple of decades now.
And those shadows aren't going away. They're actually getting deeper.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's really the situation that we're dealing with here. And by and large, it's not the rank and file, but the problem is, how do you know which rank and file people might be in on it and which ones aren't at this point? When you can't trust the hierarchy, when you can't trust the upper echelon or the top floors at Quantico, who can you trust?
Yeah, now that's a very good point, because let's say Trump won again and he decides to completely clean out the FBI. Unfortunately, that's going to have to also file down to the rank and file, because like you said, we don't know who all the leakers and all the turncoats are.
Well, now you mention in the op-ed, which, by the way, folks, is an unclassified raid, and you can get it at Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or rspradio1.com, and share the link everywhere. Obviously, we haven't heard the last of this entire situation, but, you know, you talk about the rank and file. I talk about the rank and file. You said in the op-ed that Trump is kind of wanting to release the security video, okay?
Right.
Now, according to his attorney, his team of attorneys, he would rather not do that. He would rather have the affidavit released unredacted so that everybody can see what's going on. Because Trump, unlike the current regime, Trump is a huge supporter of law enforcement at every level. Okay? Right. He doesn't want to jeopardize the lives or the livelihoods of rank and file members of the FBI who may well have just been there because they were ordered to be there. But if the DOJ and the judge aren't forthcoming, then he may not have any obligation to hang on to that security.
But you got to remember, I wrote this article as that last part was, is he going to or is he not going to do this or that? I mean, it's now come out, yes, that he'd rather have the entire affidavit out, non-redactions. And I even said that I agree in my article. And I said that before I knew.
Right.
And before it was announced what he really wanted. It makes sense for us to see the entirety of documents.
Well,
because we all know that documents over the years, especially during the Obama years, there was so much redactions going on, especially remember the redactions in Benghazi and the land grabs?
When Diane and I looked at those documents, the only words visible in some of them were and the. and right. everything else had been redacted. And there were pages, pages, full pages mm-hmm. that they released where every single word was redacted on the page.
Exactly. And we put them in the articles to show people this, that we weren't making this up. And that's not what we want to see now. They are making terrible accusations against a former president of this country. Never mind what Hillary Clinton did. Never mind what Bill Clinton did. Never mind what Obama did. They are fixated on this one man.
Right.
And the reason why, and I strongly believe this, I think President Trump has undeniable proof on a lot of these people.
I was just going to ask you that. I think not only does he have undeniable proof against some of these people, but I wouldn't be at all surprised that he has undeniable proof that what the affidavit and the warrant were for never existed at Mar-a-Lago to begin with.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. This was, you know what gave it away, Craig? If you're going to raid someone's home like the president, former president of the United States, you don't wait till he's out of the state. If you really have a strong case of someone, you want them there because you want to rub it in their faces.
Well, if you
but
really,
what they
if you
do instead, they wait till he's not in the state, never mind his own home. They tell the lawyers they can't do this, they can't do that. They did everything in such a third world style.
They did. That's exactly right. And you think about this. If you really have fear that there are nuclear secrets that are in jeopardy, that may fall into mm-hmm. the hands of the enemy, okay, you don't get a warrant at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and wait until Monday to execute
Monday.
The warrant. If
That's
you get
right.
the warrant at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, you're at Mar-a-Lago at 2:05.
Exactly. I strongly believe that they were either there to plant things or to find what he had on the Motley Crue.
Well, and that could very well be. I think they're also looking for anything, and I mean anything, they can use to indict him on some goofy charge and possibly run a kangaroo court and convict him of something, anything. They don't care what it is at this point.
Well, I don't know if you happen to have caught Fox and Friends this morning,
no.
but they had on Turley, the legal professor, who happens to be a Democrat, but he's a constitutionalist.
Jonathan Turley?
Yeah. He said nothing that they can find is reason enough to indict him.
Right. Right. That's my point exactly. But they're looking for anything related to January 6th. You know, if he's, they gassed up the beast on January 6th, they're looking for the receipt and they're going to try and make something out of that.
I agree.
You know, I agree.
Suddenly they're going to find a copy, the original copy of the Steele dossier.
they're looking for anything.
Out of their minds. You know, when you're so fixated, and this goes for Liz Cheney, when you're so fixated on someone that you are literally spending all your energy, time, money, and effort to take that person down, you have crossed over into the psychotic.
You definitely have. There is no arguing that point.
Right.
I mean,
and that's the way it is.
What they're doing is downright pathological.
Yes.
I mean.
Yeah, and I hope that Trump not only wins the election, I hope he cleans the FBI and the DOJ out completely.
It needs a good cleaning. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
Folks, the op-ed is under the title, An Unclassified Raid. You can find it at Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can grab the link, and we hope you share it everywhere. With that, we've hit the top of the hour. That means we got to take another quick break. And when we come back, earthquake in Wyoming. the geyser, the geezer, and the rhino. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the Internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from The National Patriot and Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor, getting you through the Tuesday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of it, you've missed a lot, so don't miss any of it. But if you do, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and presto, you are a pod person.
Mm-hmm. We love our pod people.
We do. We're getting more pod people all the time.
Yes, we are.
All right, so you took on the raid at Mar-a-Lago. I took on the primary in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Under the title, Earthquake in Wyoming, the Geyser, the Geezer, and the Rhino. Now, Wyoming is a wonderful state, and it's home to wondrous things. In Wyoming, you'll find great expanses of prairies, impressive mountains like the Tetons, geologic wonders like Yellowstone National Park and the Devil's Tower, a multitude of hot springs, wide open spaces, and rivers and lakes galore. Wyoming is also home to nearly 5,000 bison, roughly 320 wolves, 581,348 people, an old geyser that's faithful, an old geezer named Dick, and a rhino. Now, last Tuesday night, a week ago tonight, the vast majority of Wyoming's Republican voters, which is comprised of 75% of the Wyoming population, fired the rhino. They ended the old geezer's dynasty, and they sent a message throughout the land that there's no place for the old political establishment that's been far too content with going along to get along with a party hell-bent on the destruction of American exceptionalism. In the grand scheme of things, from a political viewpoint anyway, Wyoming has traditionally had little impact on the national election scene. Always bright red on any election map, Wyoming only has one representative in Congress, and with only about 280,000 registered voters in total, they've never made a ripple in the pool. In fact, in the last midterm election, the one in 2018, only 31.6% of registered voters in Wyoming cast a ballot. This time, the midterm in Wyoming was an earthquake. Dick Cheney, a key figure on the Bush-Cheney dynasty, used to be as good as gold in the state of Wyoming, and his daughter, Liz, was extending that dynasty until Donald Trump got into the race in 2016. During the debates in a crowded field, Trump went after everybody. That's what you do when you want to win, and Trump wanted to win. One of those he took apart on one debate stage after another was Jeb Bush, the son of another part of the Bush-Cheney dynasty. Diane, Jeb thought by virtue of his last name that he was entitled to become the president. After all, his dad, George H.W. Bush, and his brother, George W. Bush, held the highest office in the land, and both of those Bushes had Dick Cheney beside them.
Well, when you think about Dick Cheney, didn't he himself hold very important, you know, positions in the Bush dynasty, if you will?
Oh, yeah. I mean, originally he was H.W.'s Secretary of Defense, and then when George W. won, he was W.'s Vice President. Now, exactly. You got to ask the question, was Jeb planning to extend the dynasty by winning the nomination and then having Liz Cheney as his running mate? Who knows? And for that matter, who cares? Jeb failed to measure up on the national stage and eventually dropped out, only to watch Trump not only gain the nomination but win the White House. None of that set well with either the Bushes or the Cheneys, and their personal grudge went deep state the moment Trump was elected. In the broader view, the Bush-Cheney dynasty represents the old Republican establishment and thus represented a globalist vision of the world. Think about it. The elder Bush went to war in Iraq, but he didn't do so until he had assembled a coalition of global partners guided by the UN, and he played by their rules. That's not a war. That's a militarized posturing, and that's not what our military was designed to do. George the Younger went back to war in Iraq with a smaller coalition, but still played by the UN's rules. We didn't win either time. We didn't lose either time. But that was the whole idea, wasn't it? Make a lot of noise, slap some people around, pretend to be in it to win it, spout some rhetoric, and bolster the military-industrial complex. That mindset, coupled with Obama's hatred of America, is what brought Trump in to begin with. It was a nation sick and tired of the status quo, economic stagnation, anti-American sentiment, and a lack of transparency that convinced Trump to run, and it got him elected. Diane, political ideologies have shifted. What used to be Kennedy Democrats have, over the past 50 years, become liberal Marxists, and what used to be Republicans, over the past 50 years, have become Blue Dog Democrats. Now, that means that the further to the left the Democrat Party has shifted, the further to the left the Republicans shifted, just to appease the status quo.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Obama, like he was involved, you know, as a shadow over the Mar-a-Lago, he's kind of also a shadow over the whole goings-on with what happened to Liz Cheney as well.
Yeah, I mean, in an odd kind of way, you're right. You know, Trump sensed the shift in political parties. He sensed it actually years before ever throwing his hat in the ring, but it took Obama to make Republican voters realize what Trump already knew, and faced with extending the Bush-Cheney establishment status quo, voters in Wyoming with 70% in for Donald Trump in the hope that Liz Cheney would see the light. She never did, and quite frankly, she still doesn't. The rhino went full anti-Trump as soon as Trump threatened the old geezer's establishment dynasty, and she's never looked back. She voted to impeach Trump not once, but twice, and she threw in with the liberal Marxists on the January 6th committee a kangaroo court set up in a Soviet star chamber. Trump challenged the establishment after putting America first, making us energy independent, lowering taxes, empowering the American spirit, champion of American exceptionalism. He stood up to our enemies, he embraced our allies, and he insisted that the rest of the free world pay their fair share of the peace through strength burden. Trump was bringing peace and stability to the Middle East, realigning our trade with foreign countries to our advantage. He was sending clear messages to nemesis nations that America wasn't to be messed with. And at the southern border, well, he was putting an end to decades of open border policies that put both our national economic and national security interests in peril. Liz Cheney, in her rabid offensive against Donald Trump, has not been fighting against the fall of democracy. She's been fighting against the fall of the globalist establishment that she felt entitled to inherit from the Bush-Cheney dynasty. So how bad has it been, really? Well, Liz Cheney, since the day Trump won the 2016 election, has thrown in with the very party that used to refer to her own father as a Nazi and a war criminal. Diane, remember, this is the very political party that called the Bush-Cheney dynasty win in 2000 illegitimate and clung to that belief for their entire time in office, and it's the very political party that wanted to have her father sent to prison.
That's very true. But you know what? As you were going through these past couple of paragraphs, something sort of clicked in my head a little bit. Here it is, you have the Bush-Cheney dynasty, and they are globalist establishment. They're globalists. There's no other way to say it.
Right.
But on the other hand, you have the Democrats that want the one world government. In other words, in certain aspects, the establishment and the Democrats, they are actually one and the same. What's the difference between a globalist and someone wanting a one world government? There really is no difference.
Semantics. It's a difference in semantics. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Look, not only that, but Liz Cheney over the past 7 years has shown utter disregard, utter contempt, and utter condescendence, for lack of a better word, to her constituents by ignoring what they sent her to Washington to do. Instead, she's been laser focusing on the establishment's and her family's dynastic condemnation of Trump. That aspect of her rabidness was on full display last week after her primary shellacking when she said, and I quote, "Now the real work can begin." The real work? As opposed to what? The silly job of representing the will of the people of Wyoming who sent her to Congress to oppose the party she joined to evict a sitting president who her constituents voted for by 70%? Listen, last week in the Wyoming primary, the Rhino's constituents sent her packing. Leading up to that primary, the Rhino's father, the old geezer, unleashed a flurry of television ads that put the empty husk of both the dynasty and the establishment on full display. Folks, if you haven't seen that ad, I've got it locked and loaded, embedded in the blog at the National Patriot. Now, to be honest, the Russia collusion was a hoax, and the whole world knew it. The quid pro quo was a hoax, and the whole world knew that. Trump was right about Hillary, the spying, the witch hunt, Hunter's laptop, the border, China, Afghanistan, Israel, the Middle East, energy independence, and everything else. And the whole world, including the Rhino and the geezer, knew it. More to the point, Trump was right about the swamp and the role of the establishment Republicans in it, and the Rhino and the geezer knew that too. Cheney lost that primary vote last week by a whopping 37-plus points, but she still doesn't get it. Diane, in her speech before a small handful of establishment supporters, Cheney said, quote, "We must be very clear about the threat we face and about what is required to defeat it. I have said since January 6th that I will do whatever it takes to make sure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office.
You know, when you think about those words, and let's say it was a Democrat saying those exact words, just changed the name of the president. What she actually did was threaten the president of the former president of the United States. She will do whatever it takes, whatever. She didn't give specifics, whatever. That could mean anything from, you know, trying to discredit his reputation to actually taking him out.
I mean,
nobody has noticed that.
Think about that. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Diane, it sounds like a clear threat to me.
It's that is an undeniable threat, and the FBI should have had her out in handcuffs.
Listen, it's clearly far closer to a threat of violence than when Trump said on January 6th, quote, "I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard," unquote. Yet the rhino, who says she'll do whatever it takes to stop Trump, sits on the committee trying to hang the man. Cheney exactly. Also said during her speech, quote, "To believe Donald Trump's election lies, you must believe that dozens of federal and state courts who ruled against him, including many judges he appointed, were all corrupted and biased, and that all manner of crazy conspiracy theories stole our election from us, and that Donald Trump actually remains president today. As of last week, you must also believe that 30 career FBI agents who have spent their lives working to serve our country abandoned their honor and their oath and went to Mar-a-Lago not to perform a lawful search or address a national security threat, but instead with a secret plan to plant fake incriminating documents in the boxes they seized. This is yet another insidious lie," unquote. Now, that is coming from the rhino, who has bought into every fake conspiracy manufactured by the liberal Marxists since the day Trump was elected, including the Steele dossier, the quid pro quo, the Russian bank, and Hunter's laptop being Russian disinformation. I mean, after all that the FBI has done regarding Trump for the past 7 years, including ginning up that fake dossier to use to get four fake FISA warrants with which to spy on Trump, burying the Hunter laptop story, and now losing track of the laptop itself to the DOJ, not going after Hillary and her email and server scandals, coming on the heels of the IRS targeting scandal, how can anybody with a working brain cell not believe that the FBI is corrupt now? Also, in the face of that, in the farce of that concession speech, Cheney compared herself to none other than Abraham Lincoln. And Diane, to that I say, hey, Rhino, your dad, the old geezer, actually knew Abraham Lincoln, and you're no Abraham Lincoln.
Well, you know what? She didn't stop even with those words. She also uttered some other words that, again, sounds like a threat.
In a weird way, it does. The morning after issuing what amounts to the threat against the life of Donald Trump, the morning after a 37-point shellacking, Liz Cheney said that her loss was, and I quote, "certainly the beginning of a battle that is going to continue to go on," unquote. Which reminded me of something, and I found it in a video, and I stuck it into the blog, so you'll have to go there. It's funny as hell. Okay? But she thinks Trump can't admit defeat? So Why is the 37-plus point defeat of Liz Cheney in a sparsely populated bright red state an earthquake? Because while Wyoming will never be considered a swing state, it is a bellwether primary election leading up to the November midterm election. For decades, If Dick Cheney said jump in Wyoming, the people there would ask how high. This time, it was different. Heading into last week's Wyoming primary, it was speculated that Liz Cheney would lose by something like 20 points. But after Dick Cheney released that ad telling Wyoming's voters to jump, she lost by 37.4 points. He told them to jump, and they told him to get lost. It's a clear sign that Republican voters are done with the establishment, done with the globalism, done with the old dynasties, and done with appeasing the liberal Marxist machine to their own detriment. Those voters may not have liked Trump's approach, may not have embraced his mean tweets, and may not have taken to his brashness, but they sure as hell liked what he did for our country, for our economy, our standing on the world stage, and their own personal financial stability. And they want more of that to the detriment of the establishment. After the earthquake in Wyoming, the geezer and the rhino have fallen, and only the geyser remains faithful.
Yes. It's a very sad situation because Dick Cheney, I liked him when he was vice president. He had a spine. He's lost his way since then, but back then he stood strong for what he really believed was right. And a lot of times he was right. Not all, but a lot of times he was right. You think his daughter would learn from that? Instead, no. She didn't learn anything. She let hatred of someone who was not part of the establishment overrule what was common sense. Well, and it's just a shame what has happened. Remember, you know, they all complained about the Bush-Cheney dynasty to begin with. Well, they forget the JFK dynasty. You know, people don't remember that John, what was the son who was killed in the plane crash? John Jr. John Kennedy Jr., wasn't that was his name? Yeah. He was being groomed to continue the dynasty. Well, it's not that the dynasty itself is so terrible, it's what they represent that is.
You know, the Kennedy dynasty actually started with Joe Kennedy, and then, you know, because he was very heavily politically involved. And then it transferred to JFK, who became the president. Bobby Kennedy was the AG for JFK.
Teddy Kennedy.
Bobby ran for president and was assassinated in 1968. Teddy Kennedy sat in the Senate for eons. You know,
right. He wanted to run for president, but Chappaquiddick ended that dream.
Yeah. You know, and so, yeah, that was definitely a dynasty, the Bush-Cheney dynasty. You know, look, it's all personal. It's all personal with these people. Not only was Trump attacking the dynasty, and not only was he attacking the Republican establishment when he said, hey, look, I don't have any use for the establishment. We're going to go America first, and we're going to make America great again. You know, he had no use of the establishment because he knew it was part of the swamp. But he went after Jeb Bush on the debate stage, and that's where it really started. You know,
yes.
Jeb was next in line in the Bushes. I mean, that's George W.'s brother. And he was next in line to sit in the White House. And Trump connected with the American people where Jeb Bush couldn't.
See, but Jeb Bush actually hung himself.
True.
When Jeb Bush was governor of Florida, he was a pretty damn good governor until he started with the Common Core.
Yeah.
And that showed a side of him that no one had seen before, a liberal side of himself.
And that
he hung himself.
Yeah, that's what I call the go along, get along. Okay, he went along with that to get along with the liberals. He never should have done that. But let's be clear. When you say he hung himself, you're not talking Jeffrey Epstein hanging here. You're talking about himself in the foot.
Politically, he stood a decent chance of at least making it further than he did going against Trump. What people finally realized with Donald Trump is He was a very successful businessman. The country should be run like a business of government. And Trump made this country great again.
Well, you know, Trump
economically, on the world stage, everything.
Well, Trump promised a lot of things in that 2016 campaign. He promised a lot of things the establishment said couldn't be done. And right. Then he set about doing them, and doing them in spades. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he said he was going to grow GDP. Well, holy crap. He grew up by leaps and bounds. You know, he said he was going to really stench the flow of illegal aliens across the border. And boy, did he ever.
Yes,
you know,
he
said he was going to hold China accountable for trade deals. He did that. He said he was going to bring stability back to the Middle East. He did that. You know, I mean, economically, on the world stage, whatever, wherever he went, he said, look, I'm going to hold NATO responsible for paying their fair share. And he did.
Exactly.
You know?
But everybody forgot about that.
That's true.
It's just like, I don't know, like somebody waved a magic wand and you will forget this. And it seemed to have happened across the country.
But he crossed Jeb Bush in the primaries, you know, in the run-up to the nomination. Excuse me. He crossed him on the debate stage. Well, you know, HW didn't like it. W didn't like it. Cheney didn't like it because that's all part of the dynasty. And, you know, the next Bush boy was in line. And, you know, so remember, Liz Cheney was appointed to Congress.
That's right. To fill a position of a congressman that wasn't finishing his term or something before
right.
she ran the first time for election.
Right. And she was appointed basically on Dick Cheney's say-so. You know,
right.
Dick Cheney pulled a lot of weight in the state of Wyoming. And if Dick Cheney says, hey, put my daughter in there, boom, Liz Cheney gets the seat. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but the whole thing was done in order to go after Donald Trump.
Exactly. But, you know, there's something with the video you put in with Dick Cheney. This is not the same man that was vice president.
Well, no.
This man is bordering on early Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, obviously, he's getting up there in age. Obviously, Dick Cheney has had multiple health problems, multiple cardiac problems, you know, in the last 20, 30 years. He's no longer the vital, forceful, stand your ground public speaker that he used to be. He's certainly
True.
Not the public speaker I met when I met him in Nebraska many, many years ago when he was the Secretary of Defense. He was engaging
right.
then. He was interesting to listen to then. Now he's what I call a husk of the former establishment and a husk of the dynasty. There's nothing
left. Well, that commercial, he was sort of robotic in it. It wasn't
yeah.
the same man.
He's reading it off a teleprompter. It's not
right.
it's not something that he's able to you know, just spout off and be matter of fact about. He has to read it. And you're right. He's not the same Dick Cheney that he used to be. But I think in that ad, his true colors are showing. He was never the guy we thought he was back then. He's
right.
always had this globalist liberal dynasty bent to him. He's always been wanting to get this globalist thing off and rolling. Trump is a threat to that, and he can't stand it.
That's the thing. He can't stand it. But does he hold the weight that he used to hold?
No
he doesn't. And this kind of loss should send Liz Cheney into hiding. This was a disgrace.
Now, she's talking about the fact that she might run for president. Now,
that's laughable.
I think it is, unless she goes Democrat. Unless she switches party and runs as a Democrat, which I wouldn't put past her, because the Democrats now love her.
Well, she likened herself to Lincoln. If she dares to, after liking herself to Lincoln, switches to a Democrat, that's not going to sit well even with Democrats, because they don't like Lincoln because Lincoln freed their slaves.
That's true. But they love her because she'll go after Trump. And let's face it, let's face reality here. They have nobody to run.
They got Hillary. They got Hillary. Don't underestimate Hillary Clinton. She's staying very quiet, and that's not like her. She should be opening her mouth big time about the raid. And like I said in my article, even though I didn't use these words, I basically meant this. She could be a dark horse being thrown in at the end.
It's always possible. We'll wait and see what happens. But right, you can get my commentary either at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link and share. But with that, Diane, you and I have run out of time.
Okay, so we'll be on again on Friday, guys. And with that, nighty-night.
Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up on Friday. Bye-bye.